If he gets games, the game is rooted. And I'll turn my back on the game for the rest of my life. Because that's what I'm teaching kids out there at Barossa Districts. I'm teaching them, attack the ball. You've got an obligation to hit the ball hard. Because that's what's required. That's what we're brought up. You were taught at 7 years old. You were taught at 6 years old. Limo was never taught.
Get a doctor. Someone, get a doctor.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
So much to talk about in this week of football. The Crows were magnificent coming from behind after a shocking start to beat St Kilda. Port Adelaide, very, very, very disappointing. The highest team on the ladder, they've beaten at eighth, which is Richmond, beat them by 2 points, beat Collingwood by 1 point. What is going on? Caroline Wilson, there's a carton of beer from Roo. His phone's just gone off.
Wilson.
That'll do. That's a jug.
Caroline, I'll ring you back, love.
Good on you, Caro.
Don't.
Speaking of Caro, we want to. Caro's upset everyone in the world of AFL. We want to talk about her.
Yeah.
And I want Stephen Hocking sacked. That's my own little agenda.
Hey.
And Gil McLaughlin.
Get him out.
Pulled out with him. Just take the
get
AFL
out.
Down.
Now, get him out.
One of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen by the Adelaide Crows on the weekend.
Well, they were shocking.
One of the best comebacks ever in their footy club.
Yep.
Against St Kilda. Up there in Cairns.
Ever.
No.
You know, it was a terrible game. Oh, it was slippery, shitty conditions, and they didn't adapt to it at all. It took them a quarter and a half before they tried to play wet weather football in the wet. Beforehand, chipping the ball.
There we go.
Kicking to leads.
That's it.
Over-possessing the ball is just a no-no, and everyone knows how to play wet weather football, and I was disappointed. You boys disappointed it took that long to play proper football?
Saints laid 102 tackles to 57. We're not a good tackling side.
We're not a good tackling side. They smashed them in the clearances in the around the ball, though, didn't they?
But players don't play in wet conditions anymore, do they?
Well, it still rains.
Perfect. They're beautiful. Not what we went through.
It's a good point.
What we went through, they play under a roof. They've got the best surfaces
best
in
drainage.
The world. Best and the best training facilities. They're not used to these wet weather conditions, these boys.
And
it showed.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've seen so many games of footy when you commentate, and the side that takes longer to adapt to wet weather football usually loses. It happens all the time. Yeah. It's like they're almost programmed to play their style of football and they can't adapt to wet weather football. Do you think that, Bernie, when you watch games or not?
Well, you're taught to adapt.
It has to be torrential rain before they change.
I just don't think they picked it up quick enough. I knew watching, I was like, this is not going to be good. It's always slip. It's like playing in Darwin this time of year. And I played there a few times for Melbourne, and it's just so wet. I don't know, if maybe no instruction this week that it was going to be wet. I saw no gloves,
no
nothing.
After the warm-up. Once you're out there, you know, and it's rain, you know that it's wet weather footy. Surely.
But surely the coaches mentioned that. Like, when we played up there, they mentioned it. They said, if you want to trial a glove, if you want to trial, they had bloody sweatbands and everything when we used to go to Darwin. Surely they trained with that, or do they...
Are modern players different? Do they not adapt as quick as what used to in the old days or not?
No, I don't think they...
You're the youngest out of the game.
Well, I don't feel like we were slow when I played to adapt, but it looked like that on the weekend.
Guys, I've got a bone to pick with the Adelaide Crows and the West Coast Eagles, for that matter.
Mm.
And you know I've raised this before, ruined it. So I've raised this with you guys before. And Jars and Bernie, I don't know where you stand on it, but can we get rid of the unnecessary wooing in club songs?
Oh, yes.
Let's have a listen to the Crows first.
That women's
song. What is going on?
I mean,
there?
Seriously,
yeah, that's
but
all right.
The Eagles took it to another level.
Oh, no. No.
I mean, come on.
Now, I think the Western Bulldogs are bad at it too, aren't
they? Yeah, they were.
Oh, the Bulldogs are terrible. Come on, guys.
Nah,
I thought that was a footy trip.
Yeah. Now, I want to get to the David McKay issue.
Yeah.
I said at the start, I want Stephen Hocking sacked. He is the one that's taken this straight to the tribunal with no explanation. He's got no idea. This bloke is derailing the game that we loved and grew up with. How many stupid changes can he possibly implement and just stuff this game up?
Well, the interesting part I found of this, they've handed it straight to the tribunal, but they've recommended what the tribunal should graded as, which they, you can't do both.
No.
Preempting it.
Well, yeah, well, they're basically saying you've got to suspend him, and this is what we think you should do, but we don't want to put our name to it, so you make the decision.
Well, they've actually said there's not a rule there to suspend him on. Can I just read out from Kevin Bartlett, who used to be on the Rules Committee? My clear understanding has always been that if a person goes for the ball and his arm's outstretched to pick up the ball and a collision takes place, then it's incidental contact. It's just an unfortunate incident and intersection where two people meet at the same time doing exactly the same thing. As long as you are going for the ball, it doesn't matter how hard you go at the ball and what speed you are going for it. If they want to change the rule, well, then go and change the rule. But please, you need to tell everyone first.
Yeah, but what we've discussed this week, and I've heard all of you say this at various times, players will be pulling out.
Yeah,
is correct. That really what we want to see, do we?
No.
No, we don't.
Stopping that's, before you get there.
That's where it's going, Dix.
And then your teammate gets the ball and goes, bang, kicks a goal. Yep. You look terrible.
You get dropped.
You look gutless. You get dropped. Correct. Yeah. Coach spray.
But coaches aren't going to coach like that anymore. They're going to encourage their players to do that. They won't be called gutless and weak if you...
Not only if the rules changed.
Mate, if he gets sanctioned in games,
yeah, but he can't
the game
get games.
Is absolutely rooted for the rest of its life. Well, if Mackay gets one game, this game is ruined. They're ruining the fabric of our great game of football if this happens. We are we're brought up to keep eyes on football. Both players had their eyes focused on the football. Mackay got there, mate, with his intentions to get the football. He had no intentions of hurting the opposition player, young man, and God bless his soul. But if he gets games, the game is rooted. And I'll turn my back on the game for the rest of the life. Because that's what I'm teaching kids out there at Barossa Districts. I'm teaching them, attack the ball. You've got an obligation to hit the ball hard. Because that's what's required. That's what we're brought up. You were taught at 7 years old. You were taught at 6 years old.
Lemo
was never taught.
Get a doctor. Someone, get a doctor.
It'll destroy the fabric of our game.
Well, they've
our
already game changed the game heaps, though, haven't they? Yeah. Like, look what happened to Dangerfield. A few weeks ago. They've already changed it heaps. Look what happened.
Next, Tommy Jonas comes in for a great spoil. The back of his knee hits the back of an opposition player, knocks him out. Tom Jonas gets 3 weeks.
But you were happy for Dangerfield to get games a few weeks ago. That's a massive change in the game.
But his focus wasn't on the ball. It was on the player.
Well, it was until a metre away.
It was on
and then
the player.
He went, I'll just nail him while I'm there.
David Mackay was focused on the football.
He was.
Dangerfield was different.
It was different.
He was kicking.
It was different.
He had the ball.
But it was different to what it was five years ago.
He came in to hit him after he disposed of the footy, which I think is completely different.
As you said
in our group today, Roo, and I said this yesterday, he has his hand on the ball as the other bloke.
I sent you the picture so you can see
it. Still shot. And if you just, I think you just need to look at that. There's no intention to, doesn't even look like he's going to be able to bump him in that still shot.
Can I make a point here? If he gets off, and let's hope he does, he has to get off. If he doesn't, enough damage has already been done. Look at the discussion and the debate we're having right now. The fact that Stephen Hocking thinks that this should even be discussed has ruined the game.
Yeah. Well, the NRL's in exactly the same position at the moment. They are filthy at Peter Vlandis, the guy that they loved at this last year to get the competition going and all that sort of stuff. He has ruled out any head-high hits. Apparently, and I don't watch the game, but if they've just touching the opposition player on the face...
off.
They've been getting sent off. Mm. There's obviously extreme risk to the codes that Vlandis is hearing, McLaughlin's hearing.
Is this Class A action?
It's all about litigation. Absolutely. It's all about litigation.
I reckon this is where it's
going. Not because they want it to happen. Bloody Steve Hocking was one of the toughest players going around.
His brother was even tougher.
It's obviously the threat of litigation that's causing them to change these rules. The game's changing. There's no... It's just how quick it's going to change.
Do you reckon he'll get off, Did? I know we all hope he gets off. I don't think he'll get off.
I don't think he will.
Which
it's
is
gone
sad.
Too far.
Yeah. I don't think he will.
And head should roll over it. Mm. Seriously, this is a joke.
Wait till that
happens.
There's
heaps of people that think he should get games too.
Mm. That's no. Correct, David King said that.
King is full on with
it. Senior coach of Geelong football.
Lee Matthews.
Wow.
Which really surprises me.
He's just... Yeah, but it's not that he's agreeing. He's saying... This is the way the game's going. He's probably going to get done. He's not I don't think he.
I think that's what we're saying. We're saying we don't think he should, but we feel he will.
Roo, if he gets 1 week, 2 weeks,
it
3 weeks, macker, all right, all three, will the club appeal and take it to the Supreme Court?
Oh, it's too early to say. I know they think he shouldn't get games.
But has the club discussed that?
Well, you got to go through the how it all unfolds, but I'm sure they
he turned the game for that club on Friday night.
Well, that was
he kicked a crucial goal. He put his head in the hole. He actually sacrificed his bloody body for his teammates.
Do you know what he did, though? I'm not being funny here, Jars. You're far more of an expert than I ever will be. I actually think he did what a footballer's meant to do.
You're saying
it was courageous and he did it. But that, I actually reckon he did what a footballer's meant
to do. But not many people hit what he did. He attacked that when he had... He was way further out when he thought he had no chance of getting. He hit it that bloody
hard. Because the
ball popped
up. Nah,
and did it brilliantly. And I think it did change the game too. Because and Tom Duday said it last night. He said we saw one of our oldest players, if not the oldest player. I think he is the oldest player in our team. Go like a missile at the bloke, upended him, and then we thought, well, we better have a crack here as well. They went on to smash him at ground balls, smash him at contested ball, kicked the last seven goals of the game, inspired the team to
win. And the other point
is, win.
That young man from St Kilda, these players have got to learn to protect themselves when they're going to get the football.
Yeah.
They're not taught to protect themselves, Dits.
Should have turned sideways.
Absolutely. Turn your hip or your bum and get in
Don't
there.
Lead with your head.
Don't lead, and that's what that young man did. So it's a responsibility of coaches and assistant coaches and junior coaches to teach young men how to protect themselves.
On the flip side of this argument, are we encouraging players not to protect themselves? That's another conversation.
Why are you encouraging them?
Well, you're getting a free kick.
He didn't even get a free kick.
Yeah, well,
There's no free kick.
If they change the rules, you don't have to turn your body to protect yourself because you see players leading with their head trying to get a free kick. I think it almost, on the flip side, encourages more players not to protect themselves.
I'd rather not get a free and not eat soup for 6 weeks.
Yeah, same. I'd rather do
so in 10 years' time, when we're still doing the bump, your little kids and grandkids are going to be saying, why did you call it the bump?
In 10 years' time, Dits will be a non-contact sport.
But what are you... And you're running the comp, though, Dits, and there's an absolute threat with litigation. You're just ignoring it.
What I'm saying is that as of now, and in fact it should have always been the case, that you walk onto that football field and you've signed off on the fact that I'm playing a game where there are collisions.
Yeah, but does that stand up in the court?
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Surely if you sign a waiver that says, I'm entering this field of arena based on this, I know the rules and I know the repercussions, I would have thought the league should be covered. Now, I'm not a Philadelphia lawyer, but the other thing is, if there's an accident, surely that's different to something that happened with malice. So therefore... We mentioned Lee Matthews. If he wants to go and crack Neville Bruns and break his jaw, Neville Bruns could sue him. That's how I see it moving forward. Whereas if there's an accident, what if you slipped over on the slippery concrete in the players' race, cracked your head on the wall, concussed? Who's liable for that?
And that's happened.
There's all sorts of issues, Roo. And I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. So,
yeah, but obviously they can't do that. It's...
If you enter a field of play, don't you take on the responsibility?
Of course you do, but they also don't want a heap of blokes walking around with concussion issues, obviously.
Oh.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying these are the facts.
No, I know your point. I know your point.
Mate, it's a gladiator sport. It's a physical game. We choose to play this game.
Bro, you've got kids.
Yeah, I know, but
you've got
little
kids playing it.
And we choose to take the risk when we run out.
Going and suing the game because they can get a dollar out of it.
If you, as a parent, saw one of your little boys break his arm this weekend, if you went and sued the league, I'd be really disappointed. I say you, any parent that went,
a dollar,
my kid played football on the weekend and broke their arm, I'm not happy. Well, don't bring your eight-year-old along and play for
me. Hey, mate, I'm not the one raising the point, but obviously for Peter Vlandis in the rugby league bum sniffers, hard nuts to start clamping
there's
down head high, they're getting serious threats.
Dits, one issue here, mate, with your view, you said earlier on this issue, you said heads should roll. Mate, they're trying to protect the head, so that's not...
That's not the way forward,
okay?
Very good point,
people
mate.
At the top
Very
of the AFL. Oh,
I apologise for yelling too.
No, we want passion.
That's all right. Just don't have a heart attack.
It breaks my heart where
Take
this
a breath.
Is going. It just breaks my heart.
Don't
to
you
see
like
where
the game?
Going.
Look, can I, anyway, well, going. Let's get to my mob. Look, can I? Anyway, you tell me what you.
Where are we going to go with this?
Let's leave the floor to Dits. He wants to make a statement.
Dits, I was disappointed in you saying that you haven't had a bad loss this year.
Well, we haven't.
You've had a few losses.
Yeah, we've had four.
You've had a couple of terrible ones.
Lost to Brisbane in Brisbane. Could be a grand finalist. Lost to West Coast. In Perth.
Could they be a grand final?
Yes, they could. Nah. At their best, they can. They're in red hot form when they beat us. Geelong here the other night. Well, they've now hit their straps. They're playing
they
like
could
a,
be a grand final.
They could be a grand final. There's going to be four grand finals this year.
How many grand finals?
Western Bulldogs beat us.
Grand
Tell me the bad loss we've had.
I don't know. And I would have thought, coming out of your mouth, that every loss is a bad loss.
No, it is. But I know for the injuries we've got at the moment.
Oh, you've when only we start got three or four injuries. Everyone's got more than that.
No, they haven't.
They have.
Not
don't like, you look at the other side.
Key players
we've
like we've got.
This, Dix. It's players. The way you've lost to we those are building, teams. You've been we are, smashed. We are not building, so much Geelong on the weekend.
We are building towards the right time
100,000 members, three flags Alistair in 5 years and no debt. Yep.
And we haven't forgotten that. Alistair Clarkson's been a master at this. Just come right when you have to. And that's what we'll do. I can feel it. I'm serious.
You know the side you've beaten, Richmond, by the way?
Yeah.
Just as a little stat. I know you love your stats. They've played 7 games v top 8 sides and only won one.
Right.
And you beat them by 2 points. Yep. So you've only just stuck
you in. Watch them. I bet they come good too.
Are you at the crossroads?
No, no. We need to start playing now.
Because you're not happy. So we can sign off. You're not a top four side.
We can sign off.
No, we are. I think you can finish top four with your run home.
You've got the biggest armchair ride in history.
Who do they lose to?
Best case, 6th to 8th. That's where you'll finish.
Port Adelaide won't lose a game again this year. Adelaide won't lose a game this year.
No, God almighty.
Richmond,
you have got the best draw out of
we've got a good draw,
anyone in the competition.
Which will get us right up there, and then we have to peak at that right time.
That's
get
when you'll get
final.
Beaten in the finals by the top 8 sides.
We will not. Hey, Robbie Gray this weekend, 250th game.
Golf clap.
Roo, you made a statement on breakfast earlier this week. Do you want to repeat what you said?
I don't repeat it lightly. I reckon he is the best Port Adelaide player that's happened in the AFL. I think he
So Wanganeen, Treadray,
and I got
Russell
great respect.
But
no.
Well, you can bomb both clubs.
He said in the AFL.
Oh, okay. And I respect Warren Treadray played very good football, and so did Wangers. But Robbie Gray's influenced more games than I can remember out of anyone. He sits in the forward pocket. Struggling in the midfield, send Robbie Gray in there. He'll get a few clearances, get the game going. He'll kick a goal to win a game. He'll kick multiple goals. He's won 5 showdown medals. He's been an he's an influencer, Ditz. He's an absolute influencer. He's their go-to player. Big games, Robbie Gray. And the first 3-4 years of his career, the poor bloke couldn't get on the park with his body.
Yep.
He only really got going in early mid-20s. So I think he's been a star and... You know, he looks
so
like
you're saying he's the greatest
like
ever player in the AFL era. In Port Adelaide.
Yes, so that's what I'm saying. And
you'd
that, I've got plenty respect
Gavin.
For Wangers and...
I think Treadray's mine.
I'm Gavin.
Him and his best, Treadray, jeez.
Gavin turned the game on a Thritney bit.
All right, Connor Rosie, back in form. It's only 1 week, but he was all right last week, wasn't he?
Found a bit of confidence, didn't he?
He did.
Looked sharp early.
He did. He needed a game like that, I reckon, for his own confidence at the level, but... I just feel like he got going pretty early, but and Marshall went down. I reckon the smaller forward line. I think they. I like the look of it.
Well, Marshall will be out this week.
He's going to be
concussion.
Out. But Lysett comes back, so then he's sort of got the same same forward line. Yep. I reckon when Marshall's available, either he comes back in and another tall goes, or you leave him out completely. I like the small forward. I look more dynamic anyway.
All right. Now, it's middle of June. I'm going to make a statement. Just remember Brownlow night. I don't know what will happen for the rest of the season. Okay. Ollie Wines leading the Brownlow right now. All right. No one arguing.
No. I reckon he's top three.
Might have had a little wager on that.
You have a bit.
Okay.
Are you allowed to gamble?
Yeah.
You reckon he's that good? Like,
he's been playing well.
He's around the footy. He gets a heap of
footy.
Hasn't
influenced clearance.
You should if you win.
If you're good,
Brownlow, get votes. But the umpires
good players influence games.
He plays a lot like Roy Laird, doesn't he? Roy Laird.
Roy Laird?
Oh, is he a bomber?
What, coaching the ball?
He's a bomber, is he?
I think. Oh, yeah.
He is a bit of a bomber.
Yeah.
Because they get the ball under pressure, people like him.
I know. But I think he's in the top three, Brownlow, absolutely. He's had a very good year, Ollie.
If you're picking players, though, you're not putting him in the same class as
the
top shelf, though, are you?
No, you're not. No, he's not in the top shelf.
He's not there yet?
He's been best for Port.
He's a good player.
In the games they win, he's been very, very good.
So he's not up there with Dusty and the Bont.
No.
Okay.
But there's no shame in being just under them, because there's not many up on that top shelf.
So everyone's pretty happy with Port at the moment. Now...
Well, not really.
Let's move on.
You are, Dit.
No, not really.
Caroline Wilson's comments.
I would almost say they would have beaten Adelaide. Instead, Seb Ross left to be with his wife. Now, Marnie gave birth to twins 5 or 6 weeks ago, so he missed that game, the game where the twins were born. He wasn't prepared to hang around in Sydney and go to Cairns for another week. This despite the fact several senior leaders at the football club asked him to stay. He was emphatic. And I must stress, there was no medical problem with the twins. I know it's tough when you're home alone with twins, but there were other family people who maybe could have been with her, but he felt he had to be with her. When this was probably their last shot at making finals.
Mm. She's upset everyone in the game.
I thought they were disgusting. She owes them an apology, honestly.
I don't know why she would have said
that. I watched that and I was floored. It floored me how she could get on life. And Kane Corn supported her comments.
Remember she had a couple two-page spread a couple of years ago and she said every article she writes, if I know it's not going to upset someone, I'm not going hard enough.
So that's why she's doing it.
She reckons she's got very, very, very strong male that backs it up.
Sounds like she's spoken to someone at St Kilda.
Senior players.
Well, she said senior players, so some sort of players or got information.
Tom Morris has come out and said he's got the same male.
Yeah.
Not that that makes it right or wrong, but...
don't go there. You don't go there. What's the male?
Explain the male.
The male is apparently that senior people at St Kilda aren't happy with...
their decision.
Well, they asked
maybe
them to
one
stay.
Of them.
So it's Ross and Membry, for those that are listening.
Yeah. Went home. So one of them had twins 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Yes.
I think that might have been Ross.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
But look, and she said, and I'm not agreeing with her, by the way, she just said there's no medical conditions why they've had to go back.
Right.
We don't know about mental health, we don't know about anything else, but there's a few journos with the story.
It's that hard to bring up a kid or a baby, having two of them at once, geez, he'd be under pressure. I know it's his job to play footy, and it happened a while ago, but I just think it's a no-go zone. If he decides to go back, understand, support.
Do you reckon it's strange that St Kilda haven't come out and said anything?
If this is what we said yesterday, we said they should come out and make a statement and but you got to back your players, especially in this situation. Jeez, come out and say full
Brett Ratten should be on the front foot, going really hard.
They should be
senior coach.
It's more than Ratten. I don't think it's Ratten. It's higher up. It's someone needs to come out and go, that is just uncalled for. Almost boycott anything
Simon
she Lethlin's wants to
the
do.
Footy manager.
Anything she wants to do with the footy club, nah, we're not doing it. I reckon it's that far. I'm fully against what she said.
There is some stuff going on at that joint, though, isn't there?
Is there some unrest at St Kilda?
Well, they're underachieving, aren't they? Everyone said they're a premiership contender.
Well, Jars did. We got that
did
grab.
Did you say they were going to win the bloody premiership as well?
No.
Okay, for me in the grand final, I'm going Port Adelaide St Kilda.
St Kilda.
What he Jazz. Said? He said this year. These are the big statements he's made. What did you say? Burn.
Ash Barty and Rafa Nadal. I'll tell you right now, they'll win the Australian Open, men's and women.
Nadal to win the Australian Open. Well, he lost that night. Ash Barty to win the women's, and she lost. I think in about an hour later, she was playing live.
Righto.
Port not to lose a game.
They lost that week. Tom Rockcliffe to win the Port Adelaide Best and Fairest. Well, he's done two knees DVT.
He's lucky to be alive.
We welcome Tom Rockcliffe to the Rush Hour on Triple M. Hello, Tommy. Welcome.
How are you, gentlemen? Thanks for having me. How's your prediction going from January, Jars?
He's made about 20.
Well, I'll start with mine. I was going to win the Brownlow and the Best and Fairest.
You know what? I've got complete faith in you. I think your second half of the year, you'll poll well.
Have a look at this.
And you know Jazz's biggest call of all? Jazz's biggest call, he said this weekend Tiger Woods will definitely win the US Open.
And what's your statement? Yeah, the bump? How's that going to go? Can you just say the bump shit?
We'll be number one.
Oh no.
Oh, God.
We might as well walk out now. We're done.
Man in errors.
Right. All right, another week has gone by. Nathan Buckley finished up. You've had time to think about it. We asked you this week, we asked you last week. Who's your favourite to get the job or who should get the job, Jars?
Oh, look, for me, there's Mark Williams right up there.
Right.
Give him another opportunity.
Yep.
Michael Voss deserves an opportunity. There's obviously Ross Lyons, but I think Choco for me. I'm really warming to Choco.
Okay.
Ross Lyons said on the weekend he's not going to do it.
Mm. Did he?
Yep. He definitely said that because...
We did, yeah.
Because I thought a few days ago he said I'd...
No, he said he's not going back into coaching. He said I'll pick the phone up, I'll take the call. But on the weekend apparently said he wouldn't do it.
Did he?
All right, Byrne, who would you like to see there?
I think they need to sound out. I know Alistair Clarkson said he's not going to do it either. I want to see him.
I reckon there's a bit in that. I reckon he's still a chance.
I think he is too. I think everyone saw it. He just said that so if people would forget us or stop asking him. I reckon he's their number one target still.
Yep. Okay.
Apart from that, then you go into Lepic and Voss, who have been there and tried it, or Don Pike. But
I'd go Voss over them.
Voss or Lepic. Why isn't Lepic at Richmond this year?
No, he's not. He's not there. Just he's doing a bit of media stuff. I don't know. He just...
There's got to be something there.
Well,
big question.
That's probably why.
And then you've got all the untried guys that are knocking on the door.
Collingwood need a big name.
I reckon it's time to wind back the clock. Scott Pendlebury, captain coach. That's the way forward.
What about Eddie? Could he coach?
Yes. Why not? Let's go.
He probably could.
Hey, guys, David King is one of the great analysts of AFL.
Well, he's been named the best analyst before. He's won the award.
Yeah.
Yes, the best analyst.
He is one of the. He's a unique voice in AFL football. I don't think anyone's watched as much football or analysed as much as Kingy, and he's got the insights, which is why we always listen when he speaks. He had this insight on Fox Footy last week.
If you look at top eight teams amongst themselves, so top eight v top eight, so they're the games that we're hanging out for. We're craving for Friday night footy again this week. So top eight v top eight, it's 18 wins, 18 losses. So they are the 50-50 games that we've been talking about.
Now, even's a season when you say it like that.
So there it is, guys. There it is.
Gee, Robbo was excited.
Did he go to school or do maths or what?
Honestly.
So here's the headline, guys. For every win, there's a loss.
No.
So,
unless you have a draw. 2 + 2 = 4.
Unless you have a draw.
Here's something else that's amazing. If you add up just the bottom 10 teams when they've all played each other, wins and losses the same. It's incredible.
No. That's how the same as the top eight.
No. This
is
freakish.
That's how even this season is.
This is freakish.
Well, the draft and salary cap is really having an effect, isn't it?
Now, before we wrap it up, Ditz, the Queen's birthday honours. Congratulations to Erin Phillips.
Magnificent.
Well deserved. Have you got yours? Are you?
You've got to be joking. How many games of footy has she played now?
No, but well, not many.
Okay.
5 or 6 years.
What about? 40? Have you been? Have you got one?
No.
Have you, Ditz?
Mm-mm. Where do you get
have
one?
You? Have you?
No, not at all.
No, how do you get one?
How do you get
you
one?
You got to be good.
Someone nominate you.
How come you nominate you? You represented our country.
Yeah, but
you've done media, country. You've done squash.
You've done country.
What does that mean?
Has he done English?
I've done the city as well, don't worry.
He's done a bit of the UK.
Just country. What about you, Lee?
Is that a cricket princess die?
What? Move on.
Have you really? Hang on, we've got to talk about this.
No,
did you flirt with her?
No.
He gave her a kiss on a flight.
Get out! God bless her soul.
No, you reckon Harry looks like me?
Who let the dogs out?
That's why he hasn't got one.
Harry.
The Queen found out about it. So you've done matey, you've done country, you've done Diana.
All family.
He looks like Prince Andrew a little bit.
Where did that come from? Shit.
I mean, if there's
Gary 10 years apart,
looks more like Philip.
You got to get nominated, Ditch. But I just asked the question. But anyway, congratulations to all the South Australians.
Who else got them?
I've got one.
Oh, everyone.
What?
I've got one.
What do you got?
What are you?
Services to under-19s football.
Oh.
You're an embarrassment.
Well done.
All right.
This show has deteriorated. We'll wrap it up right now. You've been listening to The Bump. Enjoy your week of footy. We'll do it again next week.